Hi, welcome to Stanlib's weekly economic podcast. My name is Kevin Lings and I'm the chief economist within Stanlib. The intention with these weekly podcasts is to unpack some of the key economic developments that have unfolded over the past week. And for this week, I think we need to focus on the Jackson Hole Symposium that was held on Friday, particularly Kevin Warsh's speech at that symposium as the new chair of the Federal Reserve. Obviously, a huge amount of media attention on that speech. And I think we need to unpack some of that detail and what are the implications for interest rates. The second area of discussion is unfortunately back onto South Africa's likely fuel price adjustment for the month of September. Over the weekend, the conflict in the Middle East escalated. The oil price has gone up. We have a significant under-recovery on both our diesel as well as our petrol price, and so we're likely to see a very substantial increase in the fuel price in September, and clearly that's going to put upward pressure on South Africa's inflation rate at a fairly critical time, and so it does increase the risk that the Reserve Bank will feel compelled to increase interest rates again. So for me, two key discussion points. I don't think the discussion on our fuel price is particularly optimistic, but it's the reality for the moment. And obviously the conflict in the Middle East is not finding a resolution and there doesn't seem to be any end in sight. So I think at this stage we would have to anticipate that that continues on over the coming months rather than some sort of resolution within the next few weeks. A short-term resolution just doesn't appear likely at this stage. So let's start with a discussion on Kevin Warsh's speech at the Jackson Hole Symposium. Obviously, ahead of time, there was a huge amount of focus on that speech. I think that's understandable. I thought he did a good job. The speech was definitely thoughtful. I thought it was measured. It touched on all the key issues. So there are a couple of points I want to go through. I don't want to spend a huge amount of time on it, but I think it's useful just to highlight one or two things. The first is the chairman re-emphasized the inflation target as being 2% for PCE inflation. He said that before, but he reiterated, and I think that's important to just remind people as to what the target is and where the inflation data is relative to that target. So at the moment, PCE inflation in the US sits at 3.7%. Now that's significantly far away from the 2% target, highlighting that the Federal Reserve certainly has additional work to do in order to achieve that 2% outcome. And that immediately raises the debate as to how they're going to do that. And does that require some additional hikes in U.S. interest rates? So he didn't shy away from that as indicating what the key objective is in terms of the inflation outcome. It doesn't mean that he's stepping away from the focus on the labor market. Clearly, that is part of their dual mandate that remains firmly in place. But for the moment, the labor market seems fairly resilient in the US, and so the focus, understandably, for the Federal Reserve is on getting inflation under control. The second area of discussion I just want to highlight is he repeated his desire to not provide any forward guidance on monetary policy. The Federal Reserve for many years has provided forward guidance, and that obviously has both positives and negatives, and I don't want to go into a debate as to the merits of forward guidance, but from Kevin Warsh's perspective, he's saying he's not going to try and provide an indication as to where interest rates are likely to go, nor is he going to provide what's called a reaction function. In other words, indicate what he's looking at, what the board of the Federal Reserve is looking at in order to judge interest rates. And so this becomes a kind of significant change in the policy approach. Prior to that, certainly under Jerome Powell and other Fed chairs, we were very accustomed to the Fed guiding the market on the possible outlook for interest rates and what were the key factors they were taking into account and what they thought about the incoming economic data. So I think we are in for an extended phase where the market's going to have to make up its own mind on what it thinks the outlook for interest rate is and not be guided by the Federal Reserve, which obviously sets up for a potential increase in volatility. And also it sets up for the market misjudging what the Fed is likely to do on interest rates. And then the third point to highlight is that he did provide an update on what he thinks is happening in the US economy, and generally he was reasonably optimistic and positive. He was saying the economy is resilient, the labor market seems relatively strong, economic activity certainly seems reasonably robust, although when you look at the growth rate, it is a little bit below the long-term average, and so you wouldn't necessarily brag about the ongoing strength in the US economy, but it is good enough. By that I mean the GDP growth rate is expected to be just over 2% this year, and I think that's given the US's slower growth in their population, that's certainly an acceptable growth rate. So I think all round he was trying to indicate that from a policy perspective, the focus has to be now on getting inflation under control rather than necessarily worrying about the performance of the US economy. And so that sets up the dilemma. The dilemma for the Federal Reserve is that they've now been very adamant that they want to achieve the 2% outcome. They've highlighted that the US hasn't achieved its target, inflation target, for more than 5 years, and that that is unacceptable. And hence, Kevin Warsh has taken it upon himself to achieve, to put the US back in line with the 2% outcome. And he's not saying that 2.9% is acceptable or that 2.7% is acceptable. He's saying 2%. That's the target. So that's fairly tough talk on getting inflation restored back at the 2% level. The difficulty he's got is that he hasn't yet acted on interest rates. Now, since he came into office, he's repeated this tough talk on inflation and getting inflation under control, but they haven't adjusted interest rates. And that's led to a debate, certainly in the media, that says that the chairman is talking tough on inflation, but not acting tough on inflation. And so that's going to be a problem going ahead, which means that given that he's repeated the fact or reiterated the fact that inflation is quite a bit away from target and that the target is an absolute goal, then it forces the Fed in effect to raise interest rates to show that they are willing to act tough on their quest to get inflation restored at the 2% level. And so the market interpreted that as an increased possibility that the Fed will hike rates in September, certainly an expectation that they would hike rates before the end of the year. And that may be problematic ultimately, not necessarily from an economic perspective, but perhaps from a political perspective. We'll have to wait and see if he does that, what is the response from the Trump administration, and does that open up another area of confrontation between the Federal Reserve and the political authorities. So it is potentially fraught with danger, but I think at this stage, given that US inflation is sticky, it's remaining well above 2%, it doesn't appear to be making much progress in moving down closer to the 2% level, certainly in terms of PCE inflation, then you would have to conclude that there's a better than 50% chance that the Fed hikes interest rates in September, and may well be forced to hike rates beyond that if, again, inflation doesn't make much progress. So I think the Fed is now in a position where they have to show that they're willing to hike rates, not just talk about their stance on wanting to get inflation under control. The second area of discussion is a quick look at South Africa's fuel price adjustments for the month of September. According to the press release this morning from the Department of Petroleum and Mineral Resources, we're looking at a fuel price increase of 1.34 rand a litre for petrol, that's both grades, and then for diesel, an increase of between 2.94 rand a litre and 3.15 rand a litre. Those increases are a bit higher than I anticipated. If I look at the ongoing under-recovery on our fuel price, it is a bit above that, suggesting there is some clawback of the slate levy going on. We'll have to wait for the detail to ascertain that. But irrespective, it's going to put additional upward pressure on South Africa's inflation rate, certainly in the short term. And clearly, that's going to push us further away from the 3% inflation outcome. At the moment, our inflation rate sits at 4.3%. The previous number did surprise on the downside. But with these increases coming through, It's very likely that South Africa's inflation rate will move back up to around about 5% over the coming months and then potentially remain at that elevated level well into the first half of next year. We've also got the added complication that there's a worry about the El Nino weather effect. The El Nino weather pattern may well disrupt our agricultural production, and clearly that could put upward pressure on South Africa's food prices. At the moment, food inflation sits at a mere 0.6%, but it seems unlikely it'll stay at that low level. And so we've got two clear risks in the short term: higher food prices as well as higher fuel prices. And the combination of those two factors undoubtedly will put upward pressure on South Africa's headline inflation rate, and then there's always the risk that it feeds into broad-based inflation. Fortunately, at the moment, we don't see much evidence of a broadening out of South Africa's inflationary pressure as a consequence of the higher oil price, but the longer the oil price remains elevated, there is an increased risk that we'll see a broadening out of inflation in South Africa, which would then change the dynamic for the Reserve Bank. So at this stage, we would anticipate one further increase from the Reserve Bank. It's certainly not guaranteed, but as I say, the latest fuel price increase may necessitate that, and then hopefully they can keep interest rates on hold. We've then got the prospect that as we get into the second half of next year, we get a favorable base effect, particularly around energy prices, which could result in our inflation rate moving down quite meaningfully in the second half of next year, getting closer to the 3% outcome, which would then at that point allow for a significant reduction in South African interest rates. So over the medium term, the outlook is actually fairly favorable. But in the short term, which matters hugely at the moment, there is more upside risk to inflation, more upside risk to SA interest rates, and clearly that is going to put downward pressure on the South African economy at a critical phase as we head towards the local government election. So the timing of the fuel price increase is certainly less than ideal. I don't anticipate the National Treasury trying to intervene and mitigate the price effect. The subsidy they put in place some time ago, which has now gone out of the system, but it did cost the Reserve Bank quite a few billions in terms of paying for that subsidy, and I don't think there's the appetite to do that on an ongoing basis. So unfortunately, I think we are going to face a higher fuel price over the coming months, and then hope that the conflict in the Middle East is resolved and that the El Nino effect is not too damaging for food prices overall. That's all from me for this week. Hope it makes some sense, and we'll catch up again next week. Please remember that Standard Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider in terms of the FASE Act. Also, this podcast should not be construed as advice.